Samach Amud Beis, and the lines start to get wider in the middle section, about 5-6 lines down. And we're going to start from Ki Mitayer, means when a person wakes up, and we're talking about the brachas that one has to recite when he wakes up in the morning. Omer, Elokai Neshama Shatabi Tahora. Some have the Girsa Tahora, he, but the meaning of Torah means without chet. That's the neshama that Hashem endowed us with. Ata yitzarta bi, ata nefachta bi, ata meshamra bekirvi, ata asid litlo mimeni. You will take it from me at the time of death, ulachzira bi, but to return it to me, lasid lova, at the time of tchiyas ha-meisim. Kol zman sh'neshama bekirvi, modeh ani lefanecha Hashem alokai velokei avosai, ribon kol olamim, adon kol ha-neshamos, baruch ato Hashem ha-machzir neshamos lefkarim meisim. The Avodraham points out that the Loshon Lefkarim Meisim means that sleep is similar to death. As the Gemara says, Shena Achas Mishishim B'Misa. That was the Gemara we had back on Daf Nun Zayin. And again, when he wakes up, means that this prayer or this blessing is an expression of gratitude to Hashem for restoring our vitality in the morning with a soul of pure celestial origin for maintaining us in life and in health. Now, because the source is pure, and this is something that the Gemara mentioned back on Daf Yud, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tahar and the soul is Tahar. The Gemara Nida records that there's an oath that the unborn child is administered to the unborn before he's born. And it says there in the Gemara Nida Daf Lamed, be aware that the Holy One has blessed you and what he placed into you is pure. And if throughout your sojourn on earth you guard it in its purity, fine and well, that's good. If not, I shall take it back from you prematurely. Now, we don't have the word be in our gear. So here it says, shenafachta be. It seems that the Rif and the Rosh don't have the word be. They just simply have ata yitzarta. And the reason is that the soul was fashioned within a person. How can we say that God breathed it into him? The soul was already there. And the Tzlach omits the words be. Now the Torah tells us that in the beginning of the Chumash, Hashem formed man of the dust of the ground. He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. Man became a living being. So this all reflects on what we say in this bracha, Ata nefachta bi. And at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, God will return the soul to our dead body. Now, there are many sins that could warrant that our souls not be returned to God, to us, but Hashem in His kindness does so anyway. So that's why we make this bracha daily. Now, typically, this is a longer blessing, and has many different themes to it, would start with a baruch. Unless it's a baruch ha-smucha l'chavrata. And perhaps, based on Tosfos, not here but earlier, we could say that perhaps this bracha is a bracha that follows directly after Asher Yotzar, and so the baruch that opens Asher Yotzah would now be attached to this bracha Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi. Now the Gemara is going to give us a list of 15 brachos that we recite on a daily basis. These are called the Birchas HaShachar. So first, Kishama Kol Tarnagola, when he hears the cockle-doodle-doo of a rooster, he should recite the bracha. Lema, you should say Baruch Asher Nasan lasachvi vino lavchin ben yom ubein loyla. And this concept of lavchin ben yom ve loyla refers to the sechvi. The sechvi actually refers to the heart, or we would call it the mind. as we see in Eov, oh me, nasan lasechvi bina, who imbued the heart with understanding. So this bracha is an expression of gratitude to Hashem for giving us the ability to discern between night and day. And on a symbolic level, this is between good and evil, and between Geula and Golus. Now, the word Sechvi might be similar to the word Soche. Soche is a seer. And when we talk about the power of sight, the word Sechvi is a good choice of a word for the power of sight. So we're going to make a bracha on the Binas HaTarnagol, because it's for the good of man, that when man opens his eyes, wakes up in the morning, he hears the call of the Tarnagolis. And Ein Ba'olam, he says, Mishi Yuchal Kamohu Lahavchin Ben Yom Uvelo. There's nothing on the face of the earth that is as outstanding as the Tarnagol in this area of to differentiate between day and night, as the Tarnagolis. And through the, shall we say, the input of the Tarnagolis with its crowing, we know that the day has begun. A person could be sleeping in an absolutely dark house, but he hears the Sechvi, and he knows that it's time to get up, it's time for daybreak. And La Sechvi, the Torah says, is Lelev HaAdam, that the Lev is called Sechvi. As we indicated before, it's Binas HaLev. We would call it in our language the Binas HaMoach, of the mind. Ki Pasach Enei, he opens his eyes. Lema, he should say, Baruch Pokech Ivrim. And this is, of course, one of the greatest brachas, the power of sight, which is just invaluable. You cannot put a price tag on it. Now, although while you're sleeping, you're not exactly blind, but nevertheless, your eyes are closed. And now Hashem allows you to wake up, and He opens your eyes. We find this by Adam and Chava. It says, V'nifkechu einechem. They weren't blind people, but v'nifkechu. There was something that was hard for them to see. Ki taritz v'yosiv, when he strengthens himself. Now, all of night he was kind of locked up in his house. And now he's awake and he's free like a bird to go out. So he should recite the Bracha Lema Baruch Matir Asurim, that you have freed the incarcerated. And that's because, as we said before, a person sleeps in his house, and that's where he's, so to speak, locked up in his house. Now, when it says here that he straightens up and sits up, ki taritz v'yosiv, it means really when he gains his strength and he's able to sit up. Sometimes a person wakes up and he doesn't have the strength to get up out of bed. Okay, we did matir asurim, ki lovish, when he gets stressed, he should say, baruch malvish arumim, that you clothe the naked. And if I could mention here, Rav Avigdor Miller, all of us, has a tremendous amount of literature on Malbish Arumim, if we'd only appreciate garments and clothing. Ki Zokif, when he stands up straight, Lema, you should say, Baruch Zokif Kefufim. You have strengthened the bent. And the reason for that is, says the Taz, because Zokef Kefufim really relates to Zkifas HaRosh, when he straightens out his head, even before he organizes the limbs of his body. And perhaps that's why the bracha of Zokef Kefufim should really come before Matir Asurim. In our order, we have it after Matir Asurim. But perhaps again, I just want to tell you that the Taz quotes the Rokeach that he actually has Zokef Kefufim before Matir Asurim, because this is much earlier. You know, before you get out of your position, out of your house, first you have to be Zokef You have to straighten yourself out. Ki nachas li'aro, when he gets down from the bed onto the ground, lema, he should recite Baruch Roka Ha'oretz Al Hamoyim. Now, this is a little bit strange, because what does Roka Ha'oretz Al Hamoyim have to do with getting out of bed? He has a comment here in the name of Avudraham, Sha'afal Pi, Sha'mayim Gvoim in Ha'oretz, Hikva Osama Karishporchel Mokum Ach Echod Kidei Shetisgale Hayevesha, the Efsha Yia Lachios Oleh. So we're thanking Hashem for gathering the waters together to one place so that the dry land could be exposed, could be revealed, and it becomes inhabitable. You could live on the dry land. That's what we're thanking Hashem for. The Rif, in his Seder HaBrachos, he has it a little bit differently. He says at the beginning, the person who was chosen to daven for the Amud is Yored La'aretz. He gets out onto the ground. Maybe I think he means maybe he goes up to the Amud. No, maybe not. You know, maybe I'm jumping the gun. In any event, the bracha of Roka La'aretz Al Moyim has to do with the marble, and Hashem caused that the marble should stop, and the waters keep crashing as waves against the shores, against the sea banks. And if Hashem were angry, he would allow the waves to just inundate the world. So Roka La'aretz Al Moyim is a very important bracha. And then we have Baruch Mechin Mitzadi Gover, and that's when he begins to walk, which is called Ki Mazge. And a person doesn't know what is going to be with his steps on that day. Everything is new each day. There's no guarantee here. So you have to thank Hashem even for the simple things without taking anything whatsoever for granted. So that's the case of Baruch HaMechin Mitzadei Gover. He firms up man's footsteps. Kisayim, when he ties or fastens Misane, his shoes, lema, he should say Baruch Sha'osoli Kol Tzarki. So this Osoli Kol Tzarki is all about shoes. Kimazge, when he walks, he recites Baruch HaMechim Mitzadi Gover. He firms man's footsteps. Kisei Misani Lema, when he dons his shoes, he says Baruch Sha'osoli Kol Tzarki. And you have provided me with all the needs. And some say, I think in the name of the altar of Kelim, that the reason why the shoes are chosen, are singled out for Kol Tzarki, that you thank Hashem for all, providing all the needs, why dafka the shoes? And he says that what's unique about the shoes is that everybody has to get a pair of shoes that fits him. So Asali Kol Tzarki means God takes care of your needs on an individual level. And perhaps he puts you in situations and challenges in which you can rise up and successfully overcome those challenges. Also keep in mind that when a person wears shoes, especially when he goes out of his home, then this is the opposite of avelus. Rachmana Litzlan and Ovel doesn't wear shoes. So when he goes outside to attend to his knees, all his needs, he's showing that he's in a happy mood, he's energized, he's not Chas Shomen Ovel. And now we're up to Kippur Sudra. So we're going to get to the Brach of Oter Yisrael. It says the following, Kippur Sudra, and I read this Gemara in memory of my good friend Rav Yisrael Klein, who just passed away about 2 weeks ago, less even. Kippur Sudra al Reshe, when he wears his turban on his head, he should recite the Bracha Baruch Oter Yisrael B'Sif'ara. And this means that blessed is God who crowns Israel with splendor. Now this one, Osli Kol Tzarki, and this one, Ote Yisov HaSifara, might be something that reflects on the unique singular nation and character of the nation of Israel. Because although Gentiles wear belts and head coverings, but Jews have a special cause to do so. Halachically, a Jew, if his head is bare, he may not recite or pray the Shema or any other of the brachos. He's got to cover his head. And not only that, he needs a belt. And the bracha of which bracha of Ozer Begvura, I think we may have skipped that, I apologize. When he fastens his belt, he should recite the bracha Baruch Ozer Yisrael Begvura, blessed your God who girds Israel with might. And a warrior sort of hangs up his weapons upon his belt. The belt therefore signifies the might of a warrior. And a person should sell even the beams of his house if necessary to buy shoes for his feet. If there's nothing more degrading than a person who walks barefoot in public. So the two brachas here, Ozer Yisro B'Gvura, Ote Yisro B'Sifara. Ozer Yisro B'Gvura means that a Jew wears a belt in a very unique way. He has to separate his upper body and lower body. His head should be covered, Ote Yisro B'Tifara, and that engenders within him Yerushamayim. So although the belt and the head coverings are utilized by all nations, it's a universal use, but nevertheless, Jews use it for religious purposes. Okay, now I also want to mention here the Rosh Hashitah, that the bracha of Ote Yisro B'Sifara has a specific connection to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. When he wraps himself around the talis that has tzitzis on it, Lema should recite the bracha. Asher kitchon mitzvosov etzivon lihis atev batzitzis. Perhaps the bracha is with a lamed because it's on the maisa, it's on the action, no one could do it for him. Or perhaps the bracha is with a lamed because it's an ongoing bracha, ongoing mitzvah. And even if you didn't make the bracha before you put on the talis, you can make the bracha as long as you are wearing the talis. Kimanach tefillin, when he dons his tefillin, so now we're talking about the tefillin shel yad, and then varesha, when he ties the tefillin shel rosh, Lema, he should say, Baruch Hashem Kitchon Mitzvosu Vitzivonu Al Mitzvahs Tefillin. So whereas the bracha on tzitzis is with a lamed, the bracha on tefillin is with an al. But at least the bracha on tefillin shel rosh is with an al. Because as far as the tefillin shel yad, is that Vitzivonu Lehaniach. So the word lehaniach would be indicative of the lamed, of the same lamed as the bracha on tzitzis, which means it's an ongoing mitzvah. And if you forgot to make the bracha initially, you can make a bracha later. Our reish on the tefillin shel rosh, he should recite the bracha, Baruch Hashem Kishon Tzitzis V'Tzivonu Al Mitzvahs Tefillin. So the al is indicative of the fact that he's clinching, he's finishing up the mitzvah. Now, as far as the tefillin shel yad, he recites la niach, because hanochas tefillin always begins with tefillin shel yad. On tefillin shel rosh, he should always say al mitzvahs tefillin. because the hanocha of tefillin causes the maisa mitzvah of hanochas tefillin. So therefore, he should recite the bracha al mitzvah tefillin. Ki moshe yodei, when he comes to do netilas yadayim, lema he should recite asher gitzor tzolso tzimano al netilas yadayim. And there's a chiddush here, but we'll get to that in just a minute. This is the chiddush of Haigon, who says netilas yadayim is a lashon of hagbas yadayim, and after he puts the water in his hands, he lifts up his hands. And that's called hagba or netila. And the reason why the lashon netila was chosen is because it teaches us that the kli, the receptacle that he uses for netilas yadayim, should be a minimum of lahachzik revius halug mayim. So that's the revius halug mayim here in the netilas yadayim. Interesting that the name for a kli that you use for netilas yadayim in the lashon hashas is antal, aleph nun tet lamed. But in any event, it has to be able to be machzik revius halug mayim. Ki moshi ape, when he washes his face in order to remove the sleep from him completely, he should recite Baruch Amavir Chevlei Sheino Meinoi Usnuwa Me'afapoi Mirotzom Fenech Hashem Lekai Shetagileni B'sor Sech Adabkeinu Mitzvah Sech Ve'al Tumeinu Lo Lidei Chet Ve'lo Lidei Avon Ve'lo Lidei Nisayon Ve'lo Lidei Vizayon Ve'chofes Yitzrei Etz Yisri L'shtabi L'cha O Loch Barachakeni mi odomra umichovarov dabkeni mi yetzatov uvechovertov bialamecha usnedu ayom bechol yom lechenu chesrach mi veinecha veine korenu visigmulenu chasadim tovim brochato Hashem agomel chasadim tovim liamo Yisrael. So even asiya satov hara, is that choice is given over to man. Man can decide good or evil. But nevertheless, min hashamayim, they should help him a little bit to do the good thing, to do the right thing. Lasos tov l'schazik min hara. So you have to ask for a rachamim for that. Now, hakavona al zeh she'odem makpid u'mafkid es nishmaso k'shu ayef v'yogea b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu machziro lo boker v'boker k'shehi ragua. And the nusach of this bracha v'sigmolenu, sigmolenu lechasadim to chasadim tovim, the avdram adds, hakavana al ze ha'odam mafkid es nishmaso k'shu ayef yageh b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu machziro lo baboker k'shi ragua. This is the gemul of chasadim tovim that's mentioned here in the bracha. Brachat Hashem lechasim es gomel chasadim tovim liamo Yisrael. And the Rif adds the following point. He says that we should mention three other brachos to Seder Berachos Hashachar that are not mentioned here in our Gemara brachos. They're mentioned in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel and Beis. Shalos Sani Goy, Shalos Sani Oved, Shalos Sani Isha. And the Torah writes that in the Sidur of Ashkenaz is another additional bracha, Nosein Loyev Koach, which was established on the fact that a person is mafkid, is neshom b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we said before, kishehi ayefa, when it's tired and doesn't have that energy and extra energy, but mekabla chazara b'boker kishishketa v'shalva, and the soul is returned to us in the morning, and it has new renewed energy and vitality. Okay, now, when we talk about washing the hands in the morning, let's just mention that, and I think we've mentioned this in the past, that one of the reasons for washing the hands in the morning is because the hands have to be purified before we eat truma, and this requirement to wash before the morning prayers is based on the pasuk in Tehillim Chavav, I wash my hands in cleanliness, circle around your altar, Hashem. And the Gemara derives back on Tesvav from this pasuk that a person is obligated to clean his hands before davening. However, from this perspective, he need not use water. Any cleaning medium would suffice. And also would not necessary to use a vessel to pour the water over each hand. And indeed, if someone does not have a vessel available, he should clean his hands in any other manner and say al nekius yadayim instead of al netilas yadayim. Now, in addition, another reason to wash the hands in the morning is because there's an evil spirit. That rests on one's hands before he washes them, and that spirit, that ruach ra, somehow renders the hands dangerous if he has contact with his eyes or ears, any other opening. And the nature of this evil spirit is such that it will not depart unless water is poured three times over the hands. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba that the reason why we wash our hands in the morning is upon awakenings we are like new creatures, Birya Chadasha, and we are duty bound to thank God who has created us for His glory and to serve Him. So Chazal decreed that on each and every morning before we daven, we sanctify ourselves, we wash our hands from a vessel, just as the Kohen serving in the temple would first wash his hands from the Kiyar, from the temple laver, before he would do his Avodah. That's what we have over here. And again, as we said before, v'sigmolenu, chasadim tovim, and you have bestowed upon me beneficent kindness. Now, in the middle, we ask Hashem, v'chofes yitzreinu l'shtavilach, v'dabkenu v'yitzar ha-tov, etc. And these bakoshos are connected to the blessing that we said of Mater Asurim. He removes the bonds of sleep, and all this is kind of one Seder HaBrachos. When a person starts off well, his chances for future success are enhanced immeasurably, and that's what Shlomo teaches us in Koheles, that everything depends upon the rachis. The end depends upon the rachis. So we thank Hashem for giving us new life, for giving us health, for giving us vigor at the start of every new day. And then we go ahead and pray that He would provide us with the conditions necessary to serve Him, that He remove all the impediments to His service. And the removal of the bonds of sleep, although that itself may not be called for a blessing, because in certain cases it would be better off if people would stay asleep. But nevertheless, we wake up and we bless Hashem for the rest that we achieved, and we wake up with a blessing that our former slumber would now vitalize us, revitalize ourselves with energy that we can engage in Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore we, after the blessing of Matir Asurim, etc., we say, may it be your will that you accustom me in the study of your Torah. Now there's a machlokas rishonim about whether one needs to really experience all of these phenomena in order to recite the brach. The Rambam Shita is yes, that only if you experience these phenomena, then you make the brach. And you wait until you experience each experience. So the Gaonim seem to indicate that these blessings are recited in any case, they're absolute. It doesn't matter whether you experience this phenomenon or not, because these blessings don't address the individual experience, but rather the natural order of the universe. The Rush says that one must experience these phenomena that are to his benefit, such as donning clothes, covering his hair, his head, and other brachos. And we have to experience these phenomena that are to our benefit. And I'm not sure what he means exactly by one must experience phenomenon. I guess he means you don't make the bracha unless you actually have this experience, like you cover your head or you wear shoes, you don your clothes. But there are other blessings, other brachos, that are not clearly associated with personal benefit. And those can be recited even if he didn't experience them. So that means that the Rosh has a kind of a middle position over here. Now the Gemara quotes our Mishnah, Chayev Adam Levarech, a person has to recite a bracha on evil, on bad tidings, just like on good tidings. My Chayev Levarech ala ro kishem shemavarech ala tovu. What does it mean, the kishem here? What's the equation here? That a person is obligated to bless Hashem for bad just as he obligates for the good. Elam, if you're going to tell me, b'shem kishem shemavarech ala tovu, Alatova, just like he recites on a good blessing that he received, is he should recite Atova Meitiv Kena Mavarech Ala Ra'ah. If he's blessing Hashem and thanking Hashem for bad, is Atova Meitiv? Does that make any sense? Vasnan, we have a Mishnah. This we learned earlier in our Mishnah, Al Besoros Tovos Omer Hatova Meitiv. Albisaurus Ross Omer Baruch Diana Emes. So what exactly is the Kishem over here, the Gemara is asking? It can't be the same bracha because we make two different brachas. Albisaurus Ra is Baruch Diana Emes. Albisaurus Tova, it's Baruch Tova Meit. So the Gemara answers and explains that Rabba Omer Rabba Lonitzka Elf Lekebelinu Besimcha. There are two different brachos, one for the good and one for the bad. But the point of the kishem here is not to equate the bracha. We're not going to make atova meitiv on an evil situation. But when we do recite the bracha, the appropriate bracha, which is the bracha of baruch dayan or emes in the case of tragedy, lo nitzucha ela kabulinu besimcha. That when one accepts the misfortune, it has to be with joy. So the Mishnah means to say that just as we receive positive developments with happiness, so too we should require to receive negative developments with happiness. There should be even happiness when we receive a patch, when we receive something negative. So this is an amazing high standard, high. The bar is very high over here. Imagine you'd have to be so pious to receive negative developments with happiness. Rashi says he should recite the blessing on tribulations with a whole heart, blessing Hashem. Or as Rabbi Yonah would have it, he should face his troubles with a pleasant demeanor, and realize that in all likelihood he's guilty of some sin. And Koela says, "Ain tzadik baritz asher yasa tov lo yechta." And the punishment that's exacted for a sin is either in this world or the next. So if a person sees that he's suffering afflictions in this world, he has cause to rejoice, because he can conclude that this is a kaparf is averos, and this is preparing him for the world to come. Let him have discomfort and suffer anguish in this world rather than the world to come. As the Mishnah says in Avos, better 1 hour of spiritual bliss is better than all the pleasures of this world. So that's the statement here of Rava. And we have here, yeah, that's pretty much what we said. There's a comment here, Amar of Acha Mishum Rav Levi Maikra. What is the pasuk that gives us a clue that a person should recite the bracha of Baruch Dayan Emes with the same level of simcha as he recites the bracha of Baruch Atov HaMeitiv, and the pasuk is in Tehillim, Chesed u'mishpat ashira lecha Hashem azamera, which is an amazing pasuk. It means that of kindness and justice do I sing to you, Hashem. I sing a praise. Now justice here, which is called in the pasuk Mishpat, is a reference to what we call the Midas HaDin. And that means that God is meting out punishment. And yet, Ashira Lacha Hashem Azamira. Imagine this level. He's singing to Hashem and expressing his thanksgiving for justice. I thank Hashem for justice. I sing for justice. Pretty amazing. Now there's a comment here from the Yad David. His question is, Madua Sholas HaGemara Ma Makor B'Kach? Why does the Gemara feel it's compelled to find a source? The Mishnah itself says the source. Yahavtas Hashem L'Kech B'Chol Levavcha B'Chol Midu Midu Shu Modeid L'Cha Havi Modeid Lo. So he answers, She'ikar Pirush HaPosik Eino Drosha Zu Ela Drosha She'viya HaMishnah L'Fneichen Alachiv Leo V'Sashem B'Chol Nafsho U'Mamono Is L'Fichach Lefichach mechapeses haGemara mekar mefurash yoser neheichan lamanu shitzorach lekabel es kol amaoros b'simcha. So where is the source for this? Now the Yad David also points out that there's certain groups of kofrim, of heretical groups, philosophers who claim that God created man for evil purposes, chas v'shalom, and their proof is that most people experience more bad times in their life than good times. And this is actually reflected by the Gemara in Erevin that concludes that Noach olam shelo nivra mishenivra. Now most people experience more bad times than good times, so as far as to depict God as very vengeful or vindicative, that would be something very simple to do, chas v'shalom. But rather, Knesset Yisrael, believers, ma'aminim u'bnei ma'aminim, we are descendants of believers, and we're going to say that there's no evil that emanates from Hashem. Everything is a benefit in some way. However, when a person confronts calamity, he does not know what possible good can come of it. He therefore judges it to be an unredeemable evil, and he may want to have complaints against Hashem. Hashem, like the groups mentioned above, but in hindsight, a person himself can often see the latent benefits of a presumed evil. And even if he cannot, nevertheless, it is clear that every misfortune is a hidden good. Therefore, one must accept negative occurrences with joy, just as he accepts the favorable ones, to demonstrate his stout faith in God, and that no evil will emanate from the mouth of the Supreme One. U'mipiv lo yetzak ra. Rather, God is good and does good, and all is for the good. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni has a different source, and he derives it from a pasuk in Tehillim, Bashem Ahalel Davar Belukim Ahalel Davar. I'll praise with the word, in God I will praise with the word. The first Baal Lel Davar, I will praise with the word Zumida Tova, meaning when God bestows clear benevolence on me. But Belukim Ahalel Davar, and here the name of Hashem changes from Yudkei Vavkei Miyus HaRachmim Telokim, which is Miyus HaDin. In God I will praise with the word. That's on Midas Peronios, the case of of human suffering, tribulations, and anxieties. So the term Elokim is Midas Adin, as we see in the Pasuk Ad Elokim Yavo Dvar Shneim. And the name with a capital N of God, Elokim, is the attribute of justice. Rabbi Tanchum Amar Mehocha, he has a third Pasuk from Eov. Just one second. No, we're not ready for Eov yet. Rabbi Tanchum Amar Mehocha, and he has a Pasuk in Tehillim. It's part of Hallel, Kosi Shoses of Shem Hashem Ekra. And then it says, Tzara V'yogon Emtza V'shem Hashem Ekra. So it says V'shem Hashem Ekra twice. In the first case, it's Kos Yeshuos, when he experiences salvation. And in the second case, it's a Yom Tzara V'yogon. And yet, V'shem Hashem Ekra, the same bracha. Rabban and Amri, the Chacham say, Mehoch, they quote a pasuk in Eov, Hashem Nasan V'Hashem Lakach Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach. And in this pasuk, the name Hashem appears, which is Yudkei Vovkei, Midas Arachamim. And the chiddush here is that not only Hashem Nasan with the Yudkei Vovkei, but also Hashem Lakach. So there's an extra chiddush here on what the Gemara said at the beginning, that sometimes what seems to a person to be absolutely negative and to be midas apuronios is often veiled midas arachamim. And the Gemara is going to bring a story of Rabbi Akiva that demonstrates this. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rab Mishum Rabbi Meir, V'chein Tana Mishmeid Rabbi Akiva, Li'olam Yei Adam Ragil Lomar, Kol Di Ovid Rachmona L'Tav Ovid. A person should be used to, he's almost conditioned and trained to say that anything that happens, whatever happens, it's the merciful. He's the one who brings it about. Ki had Rabbi Akiva Davi Ka'azel Bi'urcha, very, very famous story in the Sagadata. Rabbi Akiva was on the way, traveling on the road, Mata, by Mata, Allahi Masa, when he reached a certain city, Ba Ushpiza Velo Yahavila. He requested lodgings, but no one offered him lodgings. Omar, he declared, called the Avid Rachmana Litav, whatever God does is for the best. Azil Ubas Bedavra. He went and he slept in the field, and the Imamish had no choice. Fahavi Bade, what was with him? What did he take along on this trip? Tardagola, a rooster. Vachamra Ushraga. He had with him a rooster, a donkey, and a lamb. You remember this? Also Zeka, the wind came and Kavye Lishraga. It blew out his lamp. Asa Shunra Achle Litarnagola. A cat came and ate up his rooster. Asa Aryeh, a lion came, Achle Lechambara, and ate up the donkey. Omar called the Avid Rachmana Litav. Whatever Hashem did, it's for the best. And now the Gemara is going to derive this principle of Kol Di Ovid Rachmana L'Tav, that everything God does for the best. Beba Laila Osa Gaisa Shav Kilamasa from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva declared that everything the merciful does for the best, and that's what happened. That very night an army came, captured the city, and Omar Lahu Lav Amruhu. Rabbi Akiva said to them, which I assume is his Talmidim, who were accompanying him, Kol Ma Sha'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu Hakol L'Tova. Whenever the Holy One, blessed be He, does something, it's always for the good. And it means the following, that Ba Balayla Osa Gaisa, the army came, they captured the entire city. They would have captured
Rabbi Akiva as well, if his lamp was still lit, or perhaps if his donkey is still braying.
Kai says an army that came, a gdud shel goyim, a battalion of goyim, and shavye lemosa, they took shevi, anybody who was left in the city. Rabbi Akiva was on his way to the city, but he never made it. So you can imagine when the soldiers came back, they would have discovered Rabbi Akiva, but he was saved because he was outside the city limits. Amar lehu, Rabbi Akiva taught his talmidim, lav amri lehu, didn't I tell you, kol ma she'osa kodesh baruch hu, hu letova. If the Nair would have remained lit, they would have found Rabbi Akiva. If the Tarnagol would have let out his normal cry, if the Chamor would have neighed, the donkey neighs, is then the Goyim would say the following. Hayu Goyim Avchinabi, they would have found me, either through the sound of the Chamor, Chamor Noer, or alternatively, they would have traced me to the Ner Dolok, or to the Tarnagol Kore, the Tarnagol's noise. So all these things that happened to him with the Ner and the Tarnagolus and the Chamor, it seemed like terrible catastrophes. I mean, but at the end, the Goyim would have found him out, and they would have taken him together with the city in captive, if he didn't have these three experiences in which the Nair went out and the Tarnagolas was eaten up and the Chamor was attacked. I mean, all this saved his life. So kol ma diod rachmana, kol itav. The Omer of Hun Omer Rab, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Liolim Yud Dvarav, Shal Adam U'atim, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should be very careful, says Rav Huna, that if some tzara happens, he befalls him some misfortune, he shouldn't speak heavy words against HaKadosh Baruch, as if to say, God, why do I deserve this, and question God's justice. Shenemar, the pasuk in Koheles, al tevayel al picha velibcha al yemayer lahotzi davar lifnei Elokim ke Elokim v'shamayim v'atol ha'aretz al kein yu dvarecha mi'atim. And what Koheles is teaching us is, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, you are on earth. Let your words therefore be few. And this is the teaching that we saw before from Rabbi Akiva. Let a person be sparing of complaint before God, Rabbi Meir also, since whatever he does is for the best. And again, in the story of Rabbi Akiva, had the lamp been lit, the soldiers would have discovered him. Had the donkey brayed or the rooster crowed, they would have heard the noise and come and captured him. So if a person never has a tzara, he shouldn't be rash with his mouth, as Koheles says. He shouldn't speak harshly. Let his words be few. Darash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, May dechsiv vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'odom b'shnei yudin. It says vayitzer, God created man with two yuds. Shnei yitzar bara kodesh baruch hu. God created two inclinations. Echad yitzar tov, echad yitzar hara. And this is the vayitzer. Man is created with both yitzarim, the good and the bad. So the Gemara asks Maskif Le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Elameata Behema Deloksiv Be Vayitzer, an animal. It doesn't say that God formed him with two yuds, less Le Yitzra, he doesn't have an evil inclination. Vokachazina De Mazko V'noshcho Bato. We see that it damages, it bites, it kicks. It must be that there's an evil inclination in an animal as well. I wouldn't have called it an evil inclination, but I would call it maybe the nature of an animal, that sometimes it's tame, sometimes it's docile, but other times it's vicious. So animals also seem to have two inclinations, yet the Torah doesn't use the two double yuds to describe the creation of animals. Is there another explanation therefore for the double yud in describing the creation of man? Ella Bidarabi Shimon ben Pazi. Tiomar of Shimon Pazi, Oy mi Yotri, Oy li mi Yitri. Woe to me from my Creator, who is sure to punish me if I succumb to temptation, and woe to me from my evil inclination, which causes me to suffer temptation when I attempt to follow the dictates of God. This dual demand of man's nature are the two yudins, are signified by the double yud, and man is caught in this tug of war. Now the Hebrew word for Creator is Yotzer, the inclination is Yetzer, and there's a certain similarity between these two words, at least in the way we express it. So the double yud in the word Vayitzer alludes to man's divided condition. He's split. He's like a schizophrenic. He's answerable to his Creator, who demands virtue from him. At the same time, he's driven by his evil inclination towards evil. Animals, on the contrary, don't have free will and are not answerable for their actions. So therefore, they don't have this problem of Oli Miyitzri, Oli Miyotzri. Inami. Now the Gemara gives an alternative justification, the double yud of Vayitzer, Kidder Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Diyama Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Du Partsuf in Barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bi'Adam. That God created man with two faces, or two figures, one male and one female, and they were joined in the back. And later on, God separated man to form woman from man. Shenemar achor v'kenem tzartani. As it says, from the back and the front, you have formed me. So this is the double formation of man, and that's the illusion of the two yuds. Now, had this pasuk referred simply to the back and the front of the human body, it would be superfluous. And logic would demand that the front should be mentioned first. And yet, David HaMelech, in this pasuk, just one second, let's just read the pasuk once more. The pasuk says, Achor v'kedem tzartani, milfanai u'meachorai tzarto li tzuras ponim, v'yakachotcha kashpoch l'shtei brios nifrados. And again, it can't be just the back and the front of the person. The front should have been mentioned first. And here it says, achor, first, what does it say? Achor. Achor is mentioned first. But rather, that the point of David HaMelech in this capital is saying something different, that when man was created, he was created manlike, both front and back, meaning with like a double face, two faces that were attached. So this is true only of the human beings. Male and female animals were created separately. Now, if God intended to separate Adam and Chava, why did he create them as one from the beginning? It seems like an exercise in futility. And the answer is, this was done to implant in man the nature, the desire to take a wife, because he's really, in a sense, recreating himself as he was, as one whole being when he was created. So there's no fear of rejection like there is in transplants, because this was the original natural state of man, male and female. She is an extension of him. Animals, on the other hand, they mate each season with different partners. For the most part, they don't remain together. They don't have that dual bond, that loyal bond marriage relationship. So the concept of Vayitzer and the double yuds is something that's unique to the creation of man. Now, once the Gemara mentions the creation of man, the Gemara is going to go ahead and talk about Vayivan Hashem Elokim Esatzela and the creation of male and female, which Amir Tzem will pick up tomorrow.